Hi, welcome to Info Dumpies. My name's Brianne. I'm autistic, I have ADHD, my pronouns are she, her, and this Wednesday I'm getting matching gay anniversary tattoos with my girlfriend Violet.
Hi, I'm Violet, I have ADHD, my pronouns are she, her, and I am also getting a gay tattoo with my girlfriend on Wednesday. What a coincidence.
Wait, I thought we were getting tattoos.
We are getting tattoos because we're gay.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
we're gay Hi, with each other.
With each other. Hi, if this is your first episode of Info Dumpies, gosh, it's a weird one to start on because it's not our usual format, but it's our 69th episode.
Nice, nice, nice.
And if you've And if you listen to previous ones, you'd say, well, Brianne, wouldn't the history of sex toys have been a good one to do for episode 69? And it would have been if I would have been thinking about the episode numbers. My sweet Violet is the one who pointed out to me that we were heading close to the 69th episode. And we asked the Discord server what we should do for the 69th episode, and they said dump about each other. So if you're new here, it's just going to be two ladies who are in love talking about how they love each other, and it might be less interesting for you, or it might be fun. You might just want to listen to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you've listened for a while, you're not going to learn anything in this episode that I think materially affects the outside, the world outside of this podcast, but I hope you have a good time.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any shocking revelations that come out of this.
I don't. Yeah, so Violet and I have written up some things about each other. We also got some suggestions for stuff from the Discord server, and we're just kind of going to be bouncing back and forth, dumping about and on each other, which is the essence of 69, really.
It's just doing your stuff to each other at the same
time. Doing your stuff to each other at the same time. Yeah.
Although we're going to be respectful and take turns.
I was going to say, okay, let's go talk at the same time. This whole episode will be unlistenable.
Oh, wait, but I have to do it upside down, or one of us does.
One of us. All right, hold on. So can I start? Because I did a little section about how we met.
Love it. Yeah.
So Violet and I met in early April of 2015. Yeah. I don't remember the exact day, but it was at the birthday party of someone that neither of us talk to anymore. Violet had met her on, I think, OkCupid or something.
Yeah, something like that. And it was like right before I started my medical transition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you said like the two of you made out and you're like, by the way, I'm a girl and I'll be doing this. And she was like, I don't know. Do you want to be roommates?
Nah. We like smooched one time. We didn't really make out, but it was more like an FYI before things, you know, get too invested. Just to be clear, reminder, I am trans. So this is what you're seeing is going to change pretty soon. So, and then she was like, maybe friends instead.
But yeah, you had very recently started medically transitioning and we were at her birthday party and the two of you would become roommates, but actually roommates, not a they were roommates situation.
Right.
They were literally roommates.
Yeah, yeah. And just roommates.
The party.
Not just anything roommates. Beyond that.
The party was at a barcade called Free Play. Rest in peace. I think they closed.
Oh, did they?
I think so. I was sitting down at a table where the cake was, lamenting that my celiac having ass couldn't eat a single thing in the establishment. I was overstimulated. I didn't know I was autistic at the time, so I didn't know that was happening. And then a pretty lady came up and started talking about how weird it is that the cake is called Boston cream pie when it's a cake, which it's not a pie flavor, it's a cake. And then I actually looked that up because I was like, why is it cake? Because I looked this up specifically for this, because I was like, I never actually got an answer to that. Boston cream pie is a cake because they used to bake it in pie tins, and the term cake and pie used to be interchangeable.
Oh, huh. I suppose that makes sense, but also I hate that people would do that. Those are not the same thing. They shouldn't be interchangeable.
They're not the same thing. They shouldn't be interchangeable. Yeah. I know. Anyway.
I did double check, by the way, Free Play Richardson is still open.
Oh, is still open. Mm-hmm. Hey, Free Play. Okay, cool. I think they had to close down one of their locations.
But not. The place we met is still open.
Lovely. It's great. If you're in Richardson, check them out. You can get a day pass and just play the hell out of video games. I love getting stoned off my ass and just going and picking one and just finishing the whole fucking thing.
Hell yeah.
James and I beat the X-Men arcade game with some 9-year-old we met right then. It's like, hell yeah, kid. Nice battle. Good to have fought beside you. We were talking about the cake, and then Violet started talking about how she knows how to repair arcade games. And I was like, mm-hmm. keep talking, pretty lady. It was like that TikTok sound of proper name, place, something, something.
Yeah, because I was working at Dave & Buster's at the time, I believe. And I was looking for new work.
I think you had recently switched.
Yeah. Because if I was, so I would have been working at Dave & Buster's at that point looking for new work. Because yes. Dave & Buster's is a terrible place to work.
But yeah, we talked to that party and I did not stay for the whole thing because I was like, I can't do more party. You added me on Facebook because that was still a thing people used in 2015 and we became friends.
And we didn't really hang out. We were just kind of Facebook friends for a while. It was several years before we actually like properly started hanging out, right?
Yeah, we would talk on internet a lot.
Yeah.
We would talk on internet quite a bit, but we didn't like properly hang out. And I have a section about us properly hanging out.
Yeah, I do too,
actually. In my weird autism brain. But that was my first thing.
I love that. Yeah.
That was my first thing. What's your first thing?
Well, my first thing I was just going to start with some questions that we got from the Discord that people suggested because I thought some of these were really fun ideas. And so I was just going to start with that, if that sounds good to you.
Oh, I have answers to some of these too, so I can answer them
for you as well. Yeah. So one thing that somebody suggested was niche interests, and I also mixed in some fun facts here because I tend to ramble. Brianne really likes ASMR videos, and specifically, you've been really into Tibetan singing bowls, from what I understand.
Yes.
You really seem to vibe with those. And I tried listening to some of them. And if you haven't listened to some of them, I recommend you give it a try. It's just like, okay, this is a nice sound for me, but it seems to do something else to Brianne that I can't quite grasp.
It quiets the beast.
Yeah, it quiets her beast.
Sun's getting real low.
Yeah, it doesn't quiet my beast, but give it a try. You might like it. Another thing that people might find interesting that is more of a fun fact than a niche interest. If I recall correctly, your favorite color is not red. It's green, right?
Yes, my favorite color is green, even though my autism color is fire engine red.
Yeah, your autism aura is fire engine red, like your hair.
Yes.
And I think... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I think I like having green things for the contrast.
I get that. I think we both kind of have this in common because my favorite color is actually orange, but people assume that my favorite color is purple because my name is Violet and I put purple in my hair a lot. And I very much like purple. Also, I have purple glasses. So like it's a good contrast.
Yeah, you love purple. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I would say some autistic people get obsessed with one color. The red is the color that is my soul. Not really my favorite color.
Yeah. I get that. I don't know what it's your aura color. I don't know. I don't know of a better term for it. But I always think that's interesting when someone who is heavily associated with a certain color, it's not actually their favorite color.
Yeah. I don't know. It is so hard to explain my relationship to that shade of red and why green is my favorite. Yeah. I don't have the words for it.
Another niche interest that Brianne has is so bad it's good reality TV. That's something that you love a good trashy TV show. The way I first learned that you like this was Catfish.
That's my ultimate.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to me because so many of the situations on those shows are like, they're what I would call cringy and like hard to watch. But like, you just eat it up sometimes.
Eat that shit up.
Some of those I do like as well. But there's like a line that some of those cross. Like Catfish was one of those where it kind of crosses a line for me where I'm like, oh, no, this person's so clearly delusional. You're not dating Barack Obama. Yeah, if there's a show that you can think of that's like trashy reality TV and it's like terrible, like who watches this? Brianne's probably watching it. And not because it's good, but because it's bad.
Not all of them. Not the romance ones.
That's true. You don't like the romance ones.
I don't care for the romance ones.
Very true. Oftentimes it's like we put a bunch of hot people in a room and now they're gonna fuck.
Yeah.
Also, another niche interest of Brianne, and I don't know if this is your favorite animal necessarily, because I think your favorite animal might be Moogie potentially, but you really like turtles.
I love turts so much.
You love turts. One of my favorite memories of you being very happy is when we visited my parents' house back in Texas and you got to hold and feed the radiated box turtles that my parents keep in a habitat in the backyard. I have some pictures from that are very, very cute because you're holding a turtle and you're just like, ha ha. I'm so happy. It's very
Feed
good.
Feed the turds.
A Discord question was funniest Brienne moment. The one that comes to mind right now is one time she did a fart that was really funny sounding. And I kept making goofs on what it sounded like. And we were laughing so
sounds
hard.
Sounds like you're
that
smuggling rubber bands.
Exactly. We were laughing so hard because I just kept saying dumb stuff. And I think the first time I said, sounds like you're smuggling rubber bands, you gave me this look like, what? What does that even mean? But then I kept saying it and you just kept laughing more. And it was just the dumbest thing. But it was so funny. We were like crying, laughing about it. So we have a good number of moments.
That was a recent one. Okay. So I tried to think of a funny one, and the ones that kept coming up in my head, I was like, I can't, that's not a situation I can say on podcast. But I think one that wasn't funny at first, but is funny looking back at it, is the first time I saw you pass out from your vasovagal syncope.
Yeah, that was funny.
We weren't living together yet. But I think you'd stayed the night and you were rushing off to work and you're like, can you put this earring in for me? I can't get it. And you were standing up and I was like, okay, let me help you. And I tried to put the earring in and it triggered your vasovagal syncope and you just went from standing up to on the ground. And I was like, oh my God. And it took me a little wake you up. And you're like, oh, that's okay. It's my vasovagal syncope. I just passed out. Don't worry.
It happens.
Okay, I got to go to work. And I was like, you have to go to work?
I don't know if I mentioned, but like it had been a long time since I actually wore earrings. And so my ears had kind of closed up some. And so it required some force to like pop them back through. So that was part of what triggered it.
But I had no clue. So looking back on it now, it is funny.
It
wasn't
funny.
In the moment, I was like, I killed her with an earring. No.
Yeah, I only have one HP. Like, despite my appearances, I have one hit point. I'm a glass cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very funny moment. Well, another couple ones that I saw from Discord that were very good were what to do if you want to get on Brienne's good side and what to do if you want to piss off Brienne. If you want to get on Brienne's good side.
I have these for you also.
Oh, excellent. We can just trade off back and forth. Mine are very quick. If you want to get on Brienne's good side, you should be honest, you should be punctual, and you should bring spicy water.
Yes, I have one right here that Violet got for me.
That's really mainly what you should do to get on her good side. Be honest, punctual, and bring spicy water. If you want to piss off Brienne, you should forget about the things that you were supposed to do because you didn't write them down, which never happens to me at all. You should ask to try some of her food that she's eating.
It's the ratio of sauce to dry to everything. I've created the perfect bowl of slop for myself.
And I love that about you. And now I know to not ask for some of your food for that reason.
It's my slop.
It's your slop. And you use an app to help keep track of your macros.
Yeah, hitting my protein. Because if I were left to my own devices, I would not be eating enough to actually carry on weightlifting. So,
and then lastly, the last thing you should do if you want to piss off Brienne is to be mean to me or James. Just be mean to us and she'll probably kill you.
Yeah, that's accurate. So for my, if you want to get on Violet's good side, I think it's pretty simple. You buy her chip.
Yes.
Buy her a fun drink. Doesn't even have to be that particular. A fun drink, caffeine free, because caffeine does turn her into what she says is a vaporwave skeleton.
Yeah.
Can't handle caffeine.
I can have and just then, a little bit. Past a certain point, it's just vaporwave skeleton all the way down.
And then if you want to keep her occupied for a while and happy, a playlist of videos where people build weird stuff inside of other stuff, using items they shouldn't use to build that stuff.
Oh, yeah. You got any videos like that?
Yeah, right? It's like Cocoa Melon for Violets.
Yeah.
You sit her down building, like, someone's like, I build a mesh-tastic node inside of this lunchbox from Aldi that I found in a dumpster.
I love Something it. Wild. I would watch that. Yeah, I'd click on that.
Yeah, she'd absolutely click on it and be thrilled.
I'd be like, let me learn more about this mesh-tastic node lunchbox. I want to build one.
And I think to get on her shit list, I thought long and hard about this, and I think genuinely just being a shitty person, just being shitty to people, having a shitty attitude, you're very understanding and easy to get along with. You just, if someone's a good person, you're generally chill. Like, I know some people are like, that person weirds me out, so I don't like them, but you're not even like that. You're like, hey, ain't a sin to be weird. If you're nice, I'll fuck with you. It's fine. So I think just generally be like an amoral person, like be inconsiderate and just only thinking about yourself. I don't think there's a ton. You don't share my neuroses, so this was difficult.
Well, thank you. I have been told that I'm difficult to upset, which is not always true. If I'm very, very stressed, I can get weird. Trust me. But generally, like for most of my life, I'm very difficult to upset and piss off, which I think serves me well in the IT industry.
Yeah. Yes. Very much so.
So the next thing that I have here it's not a Discord one, but it's things that I can do that Brienne has either not seen me do or doesn't know I can do.
Whoa.
Yeah. So one of these you know I can do, but you haven't seen me do it, which is play saxophone.
Yeah.
You've never seen me actually play saxophone. Yeah. I played saxophone for a grand total of about 8 years, and I got very good at it. I played it in junior high, so where I started playing saxophone. I played alto, and then when I got to high school, I switched to a baritone saxophone and joined marching band, and I played all the way through high school, and then I played all the way through college as well. Another thing that I think you know I can do, but you haven't actually seen me do one before, you've seen one that I have done, but you haven't seen me do it, is charcoal portraiture. I haven't done that in a long time, but I'm quite good at it, and I actually won an award once. Yeah, I won an award once for a charcoal portrait I did of Clint Eastwood, of all people, just because I was just an interesting looking fellow. I was in art class at the time, and I entered that portrait that I did just as like an assignment in school into an art competition, and I got second place. And the only reason I didn't get first place is because the person in first place cheated. They made digital art, which it's supposed to be a non-digital art competition, was the whole idea, but they had it printed onto a quilt. So now it's now it's not digital art. So they cheated.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I have a little bit in mind about you being very good at art. So
sorry, I got rambly there. I have two more very quick ones. You've never seen me jump on a trampoline, but I'm good at doing that. I used to have one as a kid.
I had no clue.
Oh, yeah. I had one when I was growing up in the backyard, and I would jump on it all the time. And one time I got really mad at my parents because they wouldn't take me to Blockbuster to get candy and a video game. And so I slept on the trampoline in protest. And also, you've never seen me build a fence, but I've actually built a handful of fences in my life, and all of them are still standing, to my knowledge.
So I didn't make a list of these for you.
That's fine.
I didn't remember seeing in the Discord server. The only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, the only thing I can think of that you've never seen me do is ride a horse. Or do any equine related things. You've seen me tap. You've seen me do other stuff. I think ride a horse is the only one. I'm very good at that. I just, like on It's Always Sunny, where Charlie is like, I don't know, I just get keyboards. That's what it's like with me and horses. I started riding them when I was 3. The minute I got on the horse, the person was like, so she should keep doing this. She's good at it. And I did competitions, and that's how I earned my gas money in high school. I got to the point where I was just like, if it's not a first place ribbon, I'm throwing it away, because I had a lot of ribbons. I was very good at horse. I'm very good at horse.
We got to get you back up on that high horse at some point.
I love horse. Horse is good.
Yeah,
horse
is very good. We should see if there's a local horse that would hot single horse in your area.
The only other one from Discord that I had something with was a childhood story that best describes how she is as an adult.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, so I have for you, Violet used to carry around a little Jigglypuff plush in her pocket, and she would be at school or doing PE, and she would take Jigglypuff out and be like, hi, Jigglypuff, how are you? I love you. And that's Violet in a nutshell, is hiding a sweet little Jigglypuff in her pocket and say, hi, little friend.
Thank you. I take that as a high compliment that you say that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's you in a nutshell.
Help, I'm in a nutshell. So how did I get in here? No.
I'm kind of noticed this. Lots of my childhood stories just really point to autism. So.
Yeah, and trauma.
I had a bad childhood, everybody.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Look at you.
Yeah, look at you. But I love her. She's great. And she turned out amazing despite that.
My next section is random facts about Violet. She is secretly good at beatboxing without ever intentionally practicing it. Pause to demonstrate.
Oh, God, you're putting me on the spot. So I
you don't have to.
I will. I can totally do it. I don't mind. That was really funny. I just want to give a preface by saying I literally have never actively like said I'm going to practice beatboxing or I'm going to learn how to beatbox. I just tried doing it one day and I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty easy. That's not that hard. And then every time I've ever done it, people are like, holy shit, you can beatbox? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just.
Yeah, so I discovered this because the very short time before we were dating, but we were starting to make podcasts together, you had messed up something on a recording and needed to send some retakes, and you had taken a while to get them in. And you were like, I am so sorry I didn't get them in. I'll let you know my secret. And then you started beatboxing, and I went, holy shit.
As I was like, as penance, I will tell you my deepest, darkest secret, which is that I can beatbox, and then I beatbox. I genuinely, I've never practiced that.
She doesn't practice it. I don't think I've heard her do it in years. Well, her favorite food is chips.
I love chips.
I love chips. You love chip. Chip is your favorite. Chip, your favorite food, your favorite form of food. She has a collection of Draculauras.
I love my Draculauras.
A little shelf of, for those uninitiated, Draculaura is from Monster High. She's a sweet little vampire girl. Violet is an incredible visual artist, and she does not give herself enough credit for her skill. She makes little drawings and sometimes leaves some places in the house, and I have saved every single one of the little drawings you've done for me. Oh. I have a little Falchio she drew saying, woof. sticking up in my room right now, and a bunch of little teeny tiny oil pastels that she did in my on my trinket shelf. Violet likes to deface packaged products in our pantry. She likes to take a Sharpie to things.
Oh, I
so
love a Sharpie.
The simple syrup that I use in my coffee each morning, my coffee syrups, are from a company called New Naturals. But they all say Big Naturals now. And then the protein powder, it's better. The protein powder I use is called Naked Pea. And sometimes that turns into Naked Penis when Violet has been there. And she does make an effort to try to like copy the font and the style often when doing this. So Violet has narcolepsy. And I thought I would list a few of the cutest, as we call, sleepy baby mode moments that I have walked in on. One was you were sitting on the floor at our old house painting your nails. I was going to the bathroom. It was a number one, so I wasn't in there that long. And I came back and you were asleep on the floor still holding the nail polish bottle. And you were just kind of holding the brush in one hand and you were asleep. And I had to like carefully extricate the brush and put it into the bottle and take it from your hand. I put a pillow under your head. This is one.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't imagine you would. This is kind of the next two are things that are like kind of themes for times I found you asleep. One is sometimes you'll be still holding your phone up like you're about to do something or you're looking at something. And when I go to grab your phone to put it down so you don't drop it on your face, I go, aw, because it's sometimes open to you trying to text me. And there's just some bullshit typed in there because you were falling asleep as you were trying to text me. It's just some bullshit.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I just go, oh, okay. So I'll move your phone because you'll hold it over your face still and you'll be asleep. And I'm like, oh no, she could drop that. Let me move that.
Yeah, I do. Like, they don't talk about the side effect of narcolepsy, but an increased instance of dropping your phone on your face. Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah. So if I ever see it potentially being something that might happen, I try to go, oh no, 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 let's put that beside her so she doesn't drop it.
I shouldn't be surprised, but I don't remember any of this.
No,
of
no,
course,
because,
why would I?
Well, even when you, like, you'll fall asleep while we're watching something, and I'll go, Violet, and you go, oh, I think I fell asleep for a minute, and you've missed, like, 20 minutes of a movie. And I was like, that's okay. It happens. So, like, you'd have no idea. You have no idea when it happens. Oh. Then my other favorite theme is when you have fallen asleep, but then the dogs have been like, oh, shit, yeah, mom's asleep. And they've created a dog pile, like, on and around you. It's really cute. The dogs are just like, oh, hell yeah, mom's sleeping? Yeah, let's get in on this. And you just have, like, all three dogs curled up with you, and they're like, dog pile.
That's good.
It's really sweet. Violet has odd taste in some music. You Fair. Like some weird stuff. She has a playlist of songs that were played in a Kmart in, like, 1995 or something that you were on for a little while.
Actually. So this is the Kmart 1992 playlist that I have.
1992 playlist.
Yes, yes. The year I was born. And it is specifically the tracks, as best as I could replicate them, the tracks that were available on streaming services, of course, that I could add to the playlist, that were available on CDs that were sent to Kmart to play, because back then what you would do is you would have a speaker system and in the back there'd be a CD player and you pop the CD in and it would just play on loop all day, and you would do that, and then they would send you a new CD every month. So here's the April CD for 1992, the year and month I was born. And so that's what that playlist is. It's the songs that were on the April 1992 Kmart CD.
Oh, my apologies. But yes, so Violet listens to a lot of, like, video game and drum and bass, weird parody stuff.
Parody stuff?
Stuff that's, like, in the vein of Weird Al, but...
My brain went parody, like a pirate's pet parrot.
Shit, I don't know. You probably like parrot jams. We did, hey, you do, because we did an episode about animals that are in bands, and there was a parrot.
That's true. That's very true. I do like parody music, and I like parody music also.
And speaking of music, Violet has a collection of strange electronic instruments, like your automaton and what's the one that is like you got the Bowie edition of it?
Stylophone.
Yeah, you have the Bowie stylophone. And it's not even all electronic, because there was, I forget what audio drama thing. I was like, God, I need a fucking kalimba. And you're like, I got that.
I still have a kalimba somewhere.
Yeah, you still
but
have a kalimba somewhere.
I have a melodica. I have a penny whistle. I have two different ocarinas, both a sweet potato and seed pod ocarina. At some point in the future, I'm going to have a banana-shaped synthesizer, which is fun.
Whoa.
So, yeah, the banana synth, there's a Kickstarter for it, and I don't normally back Kickstarters, but they seem like they know what they're doing, and I really want a banana-shaped synthesizer.
Cool. But yeah, so that's my collection about random facts about Violet.
One thing that I have on my list here is, well, I should say the next few things that I have is more facts about Brianne, but also a very quick story. The first date that we ever had out of the house was to an art museum, and that was for one of my tittyversaries, I believe. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I believe you are the one who coined the term tittyversary and insisted that I celebrate my HRT birthday. And I appreciate that. I'm glad that you did that. I'm glad that we celebrate that now. So thank you.
Yeah, it's your right as a trans lady to get basically two birthdays.
I had two puberties. That's how
it
works. Yeah,
you should get two birthdays.
Yeah, yeah. The first one was real rough.
And it was partly because I heard that you usually went and celebrated by yourself. And I was like, why is no one else celebrating this with you? Yeah, so we do something for it every year now because you wouldn't be here. That's and it's true. It's one of my favorite holidays because of that.
So an interesting fact about Brianne, based on how tough and badass she is, you might think that when a nasty, creepy crawly buggo appears in the house, that she would be the one to jump to action. To scrimp shit. This actually came up this morning when two spiders appeared in separate rooms in the house. It's actually me. I'm the one who... I am the spider's bane of the house. Sometimes it's James, but generally it's me. I come in with my chancla and demolish and or eviscerate a spider.
And before you jump up our asses, 100% of the spiders you take outside that are in your home and let out live, 100% of them die. 100% of them die.
House spiders can't live outside.
You take them out of your house, they cannot live outside. Yeah. Don't. I know they're helpful. I know there's always someone who's like, you know, they're beneficial and they help. I do. Intellectually, I do. But they got too many legs and they're crawling on my ceiling.
I know a lot of people.
It freaks me out.
I know a lot of people that are very nice and very helpful, and yet I don't let them live in my home without paying rent.
I don't want them crawling on my ceiling.
I don't want them crawling on my ceiling. Right?
I don't want them crawling on me, watching me shower. Yeah. No.
And if I knew that taking them outside would assuredly kill them very short, in short order, why bother doing that at all?
I have to put them down where they sit on my ceiling.
And leave a warning to the others so that they don't make the same mistake. That's the mercy that I am showing.
But yes, I am baby.
Another fun fact about Brienne, she is surprisingly well-traveled, at least compared to me, I should say. For me, you seem well-traveled. You've been to a number of places outside the continental U.S., and I specify continental because that's important here. And the ones that I can think of at the time that I wrote this were Spain, Canada, Amsterdam, and Puerto Rico. Are there any other places that you've been to that I'm not aware of?
Oh, yeah. Spain, Germany.
Germany, I forgot about that one.
The Netherlands, yeah.
Oh, you went to Netherlands?
Jamaica. The Amsterdam is in the Netherlands, baby.
Right. I'm bad at geometry.
You're bad at geology. yeah, the Netherlands, Morocco.
Oh, right.
Jamaica.
Yeah. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama.
Mexico more times than I can count. I mean, that is the continental America. It's not the United States. I've been to Mexico a lot. I lived on the border.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived in Canada for a little bit. That one doesn't really feel like it counts, but I guess
travel.
It does.
Yeah. I've never lived outside of the continental U.S.
It's just bizarro America.
Whoa, careful. We said no hot takes.
The mailboxes are red.
Huh? Why? Is that just what you do in Canada?
The Canadian mailboxes. Yeah, they're red instead of blue. There's just like a bunch of little differences.
What do you mean instead of blue?
It is its own country.
Oh, you mean the drop boxes.
The drop mailboxes.
I thought you meant like household mailboxes were all red. I'm like,
No. There's not some parliamentary decree that every Canadian must paint their mailbox red. No, just like the drop boxes are like red instead of blue.
I see.
Yeah. So I haven't been a lot of places. I've been privileged to go to the places that I have gone to, yeah.
What else you got?
I thought I would talk about the thing I said, our first time really going out and doing something just together, where my autism said, if she says yes to this social engagement, it means we're actually friends and not just working together on business things, because we both were, you know, small business owners and had done businessy thing together and spent a lot of time and had a lot of fun doing that. But my brain was like, she's just working well with you as a fellow small business owner. She's a colleague. You do want to be friends. And yes, you've talked on the internet, but why would she want to be your friend? A lot of stuff where I was like, I don't know if it's for real. Autism is the driving factor of me not really knowing when I'm friends with someone. And looking back, we'd clearly been friends for a couple of years at this point, but I just wasn't sure at the time. But a subscriber from the comic shop I managed suddenly had to give away his tickets to see Mystery Science Theater 3000 live. The show was the following evening. He knew I was a fan, and he asked if I wanted the tickets. James had to work and couldn't get out of it, so I had to find a buddy to go with me. Violet was the first person I asked. I told myself that as she said yes to going to the show with me, that meant we were friends for real, because I assume everyone is just tolerating me.
Oh.
So she said yes, and we had a wonderful time. It was a lot of fun.
It was lovely.
Yeah, I was like, yes, she's your friend for real. She wouldn't go if this were just a, yes, you have a friend, you did it.
Yeah,
take
I
that.
Remember, it's so funny, because I remember being like, oh, wow, I'm surprised. She must have so many other friends. I'm surprised she would ask me, of all people. But yeah, I'd love to go. I think we both have a section of cute gay shit that we do for each other. Do we want to do that one?
Yes. Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I have five things that I was able to get on the list here. First, Brienne can always tell when I am having a dysphoric day. I know I don't have much of a poker face, but she is always able to tell and is always extra supportive when I am having a dysphoric day. And sometimes I just straight up tell her, but not always. Sometimes I just don't think, sometimes I don't even realize I'm having a dysphoric day. I can just, it's there and I'm not even addressing it really, but she can tell. And I love that about you. You also make me blankets. You are currently working on girlfriend blanket number 3, I think, is this?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a belated birthday one. I feel bad. I'm still working on it.
Don't need to feel bad. You're making me a blanket from scratch. That's amazing. And another one. Brienne, for my birthday 1 year, made me a huge, very fuzzy, soft, big yarn crochet blanket. And I love it. I love it so much. I almost like hesitate to put it on my bed because I don't want the dogs to mess it up because I love it so much. You also made me one the next year. Yeah, I think
Your tittyversary.
That was my tittyversary. Yeah. You also made me a lovely cardigan / sweater. That is very nice. And I'm amazed. And it's really cute and gay that you make stuff for me. And I feel honored to have them.
I did a bunch of knots.
You did them very, very well. You are patient with me when I make mistakes. And I make a lot of mistakes. And I think for the people listening, I may seem particularly put together. I don't know if I do or not. But if I do, it is in no small part, thanks to Brienne expending a lot of time and energy and effort to help me stay together at the seams. And I really appreciate that. It's cute and gay.
I don't know that I do. I don't know that I do a whole hell of a lot. Popity's nerfect.
I know that you help me a lot and you expend a lot of energy to do that. And I recognize that and I love you and I appreciate you so much for that. You encouraged me to get an IT certificate when I didn't think I could do it. And you pushed me to accomplish that. And because of that, I was able to get my current job, get promotions that I may not have applied for if she had not pushed me. You are always pushing me to better myself. And it's really cute and gay because that is one of the things that feels the most like love to me. Because
you're smart. Partners, I knew you could do it.
And you just think that because you're gay and you love me.
Well, it's true. You're smart and you could do it. I had no doubt.
My past partners had doubt and you don't. I just love that. And then the last thing is you help me understand what is good and what's bad. And that sounds kind of weird on the surface. That sounds like almost like controlly, but I don't mean it that way. I have a bit of a weird perspective on what is acceptable, like in terms of like living conditions and things like that because of some traumatic things that I've been through. But I have learned so much about taking care of your space that you live in and taking care of myself because you help me and push me to not accept the lowest possible level of cleanliness or self-care that I can suffer because I just don't think I deserve any better. I have self-esteem issues. You really do a lot. And I think that's cute and gay. This may sound like a weird
Because you deserve to live in a place befitting of a sweet, sweet, sweetie, sweet angel, sweet darling.
That's why it's cute and gay. That's what you just said right there is why it's cute and gay.
You deserve nice things.
Maybe a chip or two.
Or
a table
three,
chip.
Hell. Four even. Three?
Oh, wow.
Five. Fuck it. Six.
Fuck it. Six?
Fuck it. Six.
Oh, my God. I'm being spoiled. All right.
Is it my
what
turn?
You got on your list?
Do I get to some cute gay stuff? Mine are not quite as profound, but mine have profound implications for how sweet you are in all of them. Oh. My first one is Viola does a hell of a lot for me as both a partner and a caregiver. My support needs are higher than I think people outside of my home would assume because I am competent at some things that people can outwardly see that they associate with a functioning adult. They don't see the other things that only affect me that I have a lot of trouble with. So Violet is always happy to help me with stuff that I either simply can't do or it would knock my ass out for a week to do, like helping me make appointments. Literally went to the dentist this week because Violet helped me and made the appointment and drove me. Because driving is also something I used to force myself to do, but I would have to give myself like an extra half hour for a meltdown because those were pretty reliable with driving, especially in Dallas. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I used to force myself to do. I would often fuck it up in the attempt to do it. That Violet helps me with without making me feel like a burden or I Because I deal with autistic people all day, I unfortunately hear some people with shitty partners who like to tell them it's like learned helplessness or some other ableist shit. And you don't do that. You help me and you don't make me feel shitty about it. So my autism color is fire engine red. And Violet will always grab me things in that color that she knows that I would need or like. So I have a giant carabiner on my bag that is red. My whistle to alert people of ice in the area is fire engine red.
I custom ordered that, by the way.
Yeah.
I got the brightest possible whistle and the loudest possible whistle.
Perfect. Perfect fit for me.
Yeah.
I think I offhandedly bitched about my mechanical pencil not working, and you got me a very nice mechanical pencil. It's fire engine red. So just cute little things. You remember, and you go, huh, autism color. So little story. I sent her an Instagram reel of someone on one of those balance boards that snowboarders and surfers used for practicing balance, and they were crocheting, and I was like, damn, that would be something I would like to get good enough to do. And Violet was like, haha, yeah, cool. And then basically she was in the garage for 2 days. And then she was like, so I made you a balance board. And she stained it to match the wood stain and on all the woodwork in our house. So it would be pretty and I wouldn't mind it being out because I don't know if there's anything in your things about this, but I'm kind of a bitch about how things are aesthetically in the house.
I categorize that under you help me understand what's good and what's bad in terms of taste too.
This is just a me thing. I'm just kind of a dick about this. I don't think it's a good or bad thing. I think I'm just particular and persnickety. But anyway, you went out and made me one and I need to use it more, but it was very cute and gay. You do little things like I have dyscalculia. And spreadsheets put me into a rage, and you put GIFs on the family spreadsheet to help ease my mind, because spreadsheets make me so fucking angry. It's too much. It's all black and white and numbers everywhere. The rows and the columns. I hate them. I hate spreadsheets of all kinds. I didn't get spreadsheet autism, but you put GIFs on there to go, shh, 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 it's okay. It's okay. Let's look at the auto insurance bill.
Look at the dance. Yeah. Look at the dancing Kermit.
Look at little Kermit. Look at him go.
He's crumping.
when we first started dating, you almost instantly started watching all of Buffy, which is very romantic to an autistic person. That you're like, it's your special interest. Yeah, I'll watch all of it. And you watched all of it, and I was like, oh, this is love.
And then I started watching Angel.
It was very sweet. Yeah, and then you started watching Angel, and I was like, that's okay. You don't need to do all that.
I didn't finish Angel, but
yeah,
I tried.
No, okay. You always ask if something sounds helpful to me anytime you see some new content about accommodating for autistic needs. You will see reels about stuff autism related and you'll say, would this be helpful for you? Does this sound nice to you? And you're just always thinking of me. I think that's real cute.
Yeah, you live rent free up here.
The first time we went to the cabin for a trip, I was nervous because I didn't know, you know, if there'd be options to eat because I have celiac disease. That's always like a valid concern. And I didn't know what would be available there. I didn't know what it was going to be like. So you made a whole itinerary in the form of a PowerPoint presentation with Princess Bubblegum and Marceline all over it with food options and everything. And you had called places to ask what they did for as far as gluten-free stuff to make sure it wasn't just, we have items that don't contain gluten and we put them next to the gluteny ones. You wanted to know if it's safe for people with celiac. And you called businesses for me. And that was really sweet.
Ultimately, I think I ended up calling like over 25 different businesses. I think I called every restaurant in Grand Marais.
It's so cute. It was so sweet. I also am chronically ill, and sometimes my endometriosis will keep me from being able to walk, really. Or sometimes I've just had a meltdown and my brain can't put one foot in front of the other and I have trouble doing something. And you've done things like not just say, I'll make you a smoothie because, you know, I like smoothies. My autism makes me very particular. And you've written down the 14-step process that I go through to make my perfect smoothie and learn to do that for me. And that's very sweet. And you're not, and there's no, oh, this is a little much. It's like, no, this is how Brianne likes her smoothies. So if I'm going to help her, I want to help her the way that she wants to be helped. One thing I do think is funny is that when I'm not physically well, you offer to carry me places, even though I've literally never taken you up on that offer. But you said, I could carry you in the bathroom. I could carry you into there. I'm like, no,
I could do it.
You could, but also I would freak out at being that high up and not in control.
You would start flailing.
I would start flailing. I would.
Yeah.
It would not be good. You also have a habit of giving me hyper-specific compliments. And I've collected a few of the memorable bangers. you've told me that I was dressed like I teach at Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. you've told me I look like a vampire who's bad at blending in. You've told me... You've told me I'm dressed in a way that makes me look like I know how to execute a perfect roundhouse kick. You've told me that I look like the captain of an airship.
I remember that one, yeah.
And then I have this one shirt that I got at a clothing swap that you, I don't remember the specific wording that you did initially. You said, I look like I'm in some sort of Mad Max world and I've just come from the wastelands with water for my family. And now whenever I wear that particular shirt, you and James go, Wastelander! Wastelander!
Yeah, I think I said that you look like the hot female protagonist of some post-apocalyptic wasteland movie or something like that.
Yeah, so now the... Now, whenever I wear that shirt, and either you
Wastelander.
Or James... Wastelander?
Have you any water?
Gasoline. and then, yeah, currently, you are building me... I basically asked Violet, hey, for the sci-fi podcast, can you just build me a wooden box that I can put these switches and knobs in? And you said, hey, one better... What if I could make the switches and knobs be a soundboard? And you're working on that for me right now, and that's very gay.
It's a fun project, and if I could just make you smile, it's worth it. I have a whole section of what made me fall in love with Brianne. As we've kind of covered already, we had been friends for a few years, and we'd worked together on some things. At a certain point, you were like my best friend for several years. You were always so sweet and kind to me, and we always had very similar interests, and we had a good time hanging out all the time. You're also the first cis female friend that I ever had who genuinely actually treated me like a woman and not like a trans woman, you know? Because I had a lot of female friends after I started transitioning, but for years and years and years, I always felt like people were treating me just, well... A little different.
A little
I
off.
Never ever got that. Yeah. I never got that vibe from you. You're always just like, no, you're a girl. Like,
yeah.
End of story. Let's move on. What do you want to get for lunch, right? That's the kind of energy you had. And I really appreciated that because there's a lot of cis female friends who are, they're not transphobic, but they're just, I mean, maybe they have some internal biases. They're not being outwardly, deliberately, vocally transphobic. But they
there's
just
some shit they haven't dismantled in their brain, and sometimes that shit affects their relationship to you.
As a trans person, it's very easy to pick up when I'm just not quite being addressed or treated in the same way as everyone else.
Yeah, you know? I obviously don't have the same experience, but there is a very similar, this person senses my autism and is treating me differently because of it thing, where I'm like, oh. You don't like me. That's fine.
Yeah, there's something about like almost like a tokenization feeling. But you never treated me like I was anything but a woman. And I really appreciated that. It was so refreshing. I just kept wanting to spend time with you because you never made me feel weird. You're hot. And I first realized I had gay feelings for you pretty early on in our friendship. And I think the first time I realized that I had gay feelings for you was when we were planning Art and RPG, which for those who don't know, that was like an event that we did as like both small business owners where kind of trying to merge our small businesses into an event that people could attend to try and cross promote, essentially. And it was fun. It didn't end up making a whole ton of money, really, but it was fun. And it was cool. And it spread a lot of word of mouth. While we were planning, I have to keep telling myself, this isn't a date. We're meeting at a coffee shop downtown, and we're looking each other in the eyes a whole lot, but she's married, and this isn't a date. We're working. We're working. And I just kept shoving the gay feelings down. And again, when we actually hosted the event, I remember really, really liking your outfit, and I couldn't stop peeking at your gams the whole time. I was just like, whoa, I'm having some very gay feelings.
Behind me, gay thoughts.
back, gay thoughts.
Back, and then back, I say.
I think I realized it was more than just gay thoughts after you told me you were autistic for the first time. And I, being quite ignorant at the time of what it is like to be autistic, obviously I don't know that experience, but like I was so ignorant of that whole world of autism and that experience. I said something really insensitive and I hurt your feelings. I remember after that conversation ended and you told me how I had hurt your feelings, I cried for 2.5 hours straight. And I called my mom and talked to my mom for an hour, and my mom had to calm me down because I was so scared of losing you as a friend. And I started to realize, I think I might care about you more than just a friend, because that's a big reaction. That's kind of how we fell in love, or at least from my end, that's how I fell in love with you. I think we just got closer and closer, and then eventually you were like, hey, Mia also gay, let's make this work.
So on my end of things, my oblivious autistic ass didn't know. I'm on the aromantic spectrum, so I don't really get crushes. That's not a familiar feeling for me, because I own a home with the only two people I've ever really felt romantically for. Sexual attraction, sure. So being friends with Violet from day one, I was like, yeah, smash. but I was just like, that's the bisexual experience. You just have friends where you're like, yeah, if we're both single, yeah, smash. But I had adapted my initial comic book, Today's Lucky Winner, to audio drama, and I needed voice actors, and I thought, you know who's got a great voice, and it would be so easy to pretend to be girlfriends with her, because she'd be voicing the girlfriend. That'd be Violet. And then I think we'd recorded the first 10 episodes of season one.
That sounds about right.
And I was talking to a completely different friend on the phone, and I was like saying, okay, goodbye, I love you. And I hung up, said I love you to that friend. And I don't know, I had been doing a lot of work because my autism diagnosis was still pretty fresh. And I'd been doing a lot of work on understanding nuance and feelings with my therapist. I swear to God, it felt like my therapist's voice in the back of my head saying, when you said I love you to that friend, it wasn't the same way you mean it when you say I love you to James or Violet. And I went, oh no, oh no. And then the religious trauma kicked in and told me I had already done something wrong just by having those feelings, and I was not doing well. So I'm like, what do I do? I can't do it. What do I fucking do? And I was like having trouble for a week. I was like, can't do anything about it. And it finally got to a point where James is like, hey, you've said you're not upset with me. You said there's like nothing actually wrong. I'm worried you're like not eating and being really in a way I've not seen you before. And I was like, gay for Violet. And James is like, yeah, you didn't know that? I was like, you knew? And James is like, yeah, I can see. James was like, you didn't know? I was like, no. Oh. And we talked about it, and I was like, so I can't, I'll be lying to her. And I didn't, I was like, and I love you. And James was like, yeah, duh, I know. Like, I know that. James was like, well, why don't you see if Violet feels the same? And I was like, hold on, why? Married, against rules. And James is like, do you want to leave me? I was like, no. And I was crying a whole bunch, and James was like, yeah, I know. Like, so see if also being with Violet works for you. And just reminded me that we get to decide what the boundaries and rules around our relationship are. And yeah, so basically after that, I was like, hello, Violet. I gave for you. I called her. I felt like I was going to throw up.
I think I had just got home from work and I was still wearing my work clothes.
Yeah. And then I sounded so nervous. You said, hey, I know you have more to say, but before you keep going, it's reciprocated. You sound like you're about to throw up. I was like, yeah, I am. Thank you. And we had a kind of a meeting with you, me, and James to kind of talk about rules and boundaries and concerns and things. And
I was so nervous. I went to the wrong house at first.
Yes. And you'd been to my house before. That's what's confusing. Yeah. Looking back at it, I very clearly liked her much longer. Very clearly. I was like, yeah, she could play my girlfriend. It'll be easy to pretend.
Well, I have one last section about you, which is my top five favorite things about Brianne. And this is not an exhaustive list. I have many favorite things about you, but these are just the top five that came to me as I was writing this list. Number five, there are things more important to me than appearances, but Brianne is a Brianne is a cutie patootie with a thick old booty. And I'll say it, I'm a butt gal, and there ain't an inch of Brianne that isn't down with the thickness. So, like, in the best possible way. And you got a super cool bod, and I'm sorry your bod is so mean to you. I'm sorry your bod is mean to you sometimes, but you have a super cool bod.
Hey, super cool bod.
Super cool bod. That's number five. So I'm going bottom top. Number four is your sense of humor. And I don't necessarily mean that you're funny, because you are clearly, but I literally mean your sense of what is and is not funny, because you also understand the weird, sometimes deliberately misspoken type of humor that comes with just being a little freak like we are.
Yeah,
and like you understand that smoking a cigarette is not particularly funny, but smoking a long cigarette is hilarious.
That's comedy,
right? Smoking a long cigarette. Now it's funny, right? You understand that. Number three is your sense of foresight. You have the best foresight of anyone I've ever met, to the point where it bothers you because the rest of us don't seem to think of half of the things that you think of a lot. And I wish I could keep up sometimes, but you're just a good idea factory. And I think this comes at least in part from your autistic pattern recognition. Some of it is, I think, learned and pressured into you by society, for sure. Being prepared and having to think of everything for everyone. Number two is your ability to read people. Your ability to read people is pretty wild. You read people about as well as you write books, and you're a damn good writer. You have often told me that you in another life might have been like a criminal behavioral analyst or possibly like a forensic medical examiner, because you're not squeamish about blood or medical things like that. And I could absolutely see it. Like, you could be a detective and you would be damn good at it.
That dream died the minute I learned about the cops in college.
Exactly.
Like, the truth about them. Right. Nobody get concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a minute where I was considering getting my private detective license, and I was actually starting courses.
Ironically, I thought about getting that too, just because I'm so good at OSINT, open source intelligence. Like,
yeah.
I think
you'd be great at it.
Just before this recording, I learned your biological dad's first and last name and where he lives, like what city he lives in or works in. And within about 7 minutes, I was able to find medical
reprimands from the medical board.
Yeah, reprimands from the Texas medical board going back to 2005, I think. So
yeah,
I'm very good at
that. I was just doing my yearly check to see if he died.
Yeah. Yeah, and you just happened to send a photo that had enough information, and I was just like, well, wonder if I can pull this up. Oh, yeah, I can. But anyway, your ability to read people, though, is exceptional. But my number one favorite thing about you is honesty. You do honesty like nobody else. And I mean that in the sense that there's just no bullshit when it comes to you. And it's so refreshing. And I have met so many people in my life, but you are the only person that I don't have to ever worry about, well, maybe she was lying or maybe she was just being nice. And even when my own anxiety is trying to tell me that that's what you're saying, I can really reliably just go, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't sound like Brianne.
No, I'm never doing something just to be nice.
You don't lie to people because you don't see the benefit in it. I don't get why people seem to do that, especially with their partners. They lie. People lie to their partners
all
the time.
I don't get that. Like, to what end? Like,
of all people to lie to, why would you lie to your partner? You're supposed to be your partner.
And if it's someone I don't particularly, like, want to have know all my business and they ask me something, I am akin to a fae creature where I will just half answer it and ignore the part I don't actually want to tell them about.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. I don't need to do that to you. Yeah, you're my partner. There's nothing I'd do that to with you because we share a home and a life. But if someone out in the world is nosy about my life, I'm like, I don't know you. I don't have to answer you. But yeah, that was us 69ing in an info dumpy sense.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed it.
I love you too.
Happy 69th episode.
Happy 69th episode. If it'll be a while till we get to the 100th, but I'll be keeping some ideas for the 100th. That feels like the next special number, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of thinking I might want to make like a special sticker or something for the 69th episode to celebrate this one.
The 69th episode?
Yeah.
Just like a 69 nice one. Yeah. That would be good.
A very nice episode of Info Dumpies.
Hey friends, before I get to thanking our Patreon supporters, I'd like to make you aware of a mutual aid opportunity. If you go to the show details, you find a link to the B'Elanna Arts merch hub, and our B'Elanna Arts website is where you will find a fuck ice sticker that Violet designed. 100% of the proceeds from that sticker go to mutual aid here in the Minneapolis area to help folks with both the current ice presence that is still here and the aftermath of Operation Metro Surge. Our city has been hit hard. The mayor is a useless little fuck-ass, little shitty little fuck-ass, little weasel man. And people have not had any rent relief for not being safe to leave their homes for a long time. Folks are behind on bills. Folks need the essentials that they haven't been able to go to work to get for a while because of the ice presence here in the Twin Cities. So if you go to the B'Elanna Arts merch hub and make a purchase of the Fuck Ice sticker, 100% of those proceeds will go to mutual aid here in the Minneapolis area. And I will post whenever we make a donation. I kind of wait till we have a little chunk of stuff. And I post that on both the Mixnomer Instagram and my personal Instagram for transparency. So you can go see what we've donated so far. And now I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters like Jennifer, Patch, Harleen, Bethany, Laura Kramer, Lilith Rain, Janice Weston, Anarchista, Percy, Nanya B, Kate Michigoose, K Genius, Chibs 1012, Dave Peril, Megan E, Carl Brooks, Natasha Neves, Gus, Lutzi, Helen Clifford, Sewing Seraph, Rachel Rachelson, and Fintago. You know the deal. You want to help the show, you can tell people about the show. We grow entirely by word of mouth. We don't take paid advertisements. We do not pay to advertise. We grow with this lovely community that tells other people about the stuff we make. So if you have a Discord server or a Facebook group or some place where you think someone would like Info Dumpies, please share it. That helps us out a ton. The growth we've had is the only reason we've been able to get new equipment for ourselves, new programs. Violet's currently building me a really badass soundboard thing for the sci-fi audio drama we're working on. None of this would be possible without all of the support and promotion you give us. If you want to help us out even more, you can leave a nice comment or, you know, rating or review or all of them on your podcatcher of choice. Also, subscribing in your podcatcher of choice helps us out. That helps us get more action in the algorithms, so we get recommended to more people who like similar shows to you, and you help the show appear active to people who might be browsing for something new, and people are more likely to click play. So that's another way you can help us out. If you're in a space where you can help us out monetarily, you can find a link to the Mixnomer Patreon page in the show details. Tiers start at just $1. There's rewards for everything we do at Mixnomer, have done, will be doing. It's your one-stop shop to support any of the shows we do. And yeah, tiers start at just $1, and you know, you like the show, you want to support us in any way you can afford to throw $1 a month or more, that helps us out quite a bit. We've gotten new equipment for folks over the years entirely because y'all have been supporting us. Also, if you would like to hang out with us, you should go look at the show details, find a link to the Discord server. The Discord server is it's an unmitigated delight. It has the loveliest people in there. We do different, like, pen pal card exchanges. James is going to be streaming World of Warcraft this evening. World of Warcraft, or Warclack. I can't fucking talk today. World of Warcraft Classic this evening. Next weekend, Violet and I will be playing Funny Raccoon Game. As of this time, not next weekend when I'm recording this. Time is an illusion. But anyway, we do lots of fun streams. I do regular streams every week where I have a body doubling session that folks can pop in on. We do Stitch and Bitch, where you can do a craft or not. It doesn't matter. But you do fiber art and just kind of chat and hang out. A lot of great stuff and just a really lovely community that we've managed to build there. And if you want to come hang out with us, you should go click that link. But that's all I've got for you this time, my friends. Until next time, clever sign off.